Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and hold them up. It's good to have our Bibles, isn't it? And then take them and turn to the book of Esther, the book of Esther, in the Old Testament, in the historical section, as the story of the Israelites throughout the whole Testament is coming near the completion of being told. The time when the Israelites, some of them were still in captivity. Most scholars believe that the book of Esther was written during the same time the book of Ezra and Nehemiah was taking place. And so we've been doing a series on how close are we to the coming of the Lord. And the coming of the Lord is told about in the Old Testament, first of all. Now, the rapture, we believe, takes place before the coming of the Lord to set up his kingdom. So as we're thinking about the coming of the Lord, that means we're getting closer and closer to the rapture. The rapture, the departing of the church to go be with the bridegroom. We're the bride of Christ. So we've been talking through the Old Testament, studying through the Old Testament, seeing how Israelites were part of God's covenant, and God was revealing that covenant to the time of Abraham and the seed of David. And we also saw that the Israelites are often hated. And we saw what a response to that a little bit last week of the great hatred of Haman toward the Israelites and wanted the Jews to be killed. So I just had a quick follow-up on a little bit of something that was said in last week's sermon. And I wanted you to know that I learned from a very important person in my life that will remain unnamed, that the name Mordecai can also be a good name if you decide to have a cat around the house or if you want to add a dog to your house. So if you missed last week's sermon, that may not make sense to you. I mentioned last week that Mordecai is a great name, and I'm surprised that more people don't choose Mordecai for a man's name, for a boy's name. And I said, you know, if I ever have another child, I'll name it Mordecai if it's a boy. So that's what the follow-up is. I got instructed this week that Mordecai, if you want to use that name, you better think about having a cat or a dog. So that's what that's all about. Now to more important matters. Last week I entitled the message, Are You Going to Stand? Are you willing to take a stand for the Lord? And so today is simply, Are You Going to Stand Up? Part two. Are you going to take a stand? Are you willing to stand for God? Are you willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to stand for biblical truth? Sometimes it may seem like we're called to stand all by ourselves. In those instances where it seems like you're the only one, will you still stand? As we get closer to the last days, closer to the Lord's coming, I believe that we'll have more and more opportunities to stand for the Lord. And we will have more opportunities to stand alone. And second of all, we will also have more opposition for standing for the Lord. We can see it oftentimes. Sometimes even Facebook restricts some of the things that people want to say about the Lord. Sometimes it maybe your business will say, well, this year we're having a holiday party. You can't call it Christmas party anymore. And so we see those subtle restrictions, but God calls his people to stand, not to hide. Last week, as we examined wicked Haman, who was willing to take a stand against God's people, to the point that he had planned to destroy all the Jews living in the kingdom and make it look like he was doing the king a favor, we saw that. And we see how we as Christians sometimes can face opposition. Remember that Jesus told his disciples that there would be time that people would persecute Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would even think that they were doing the work of God in doing that. But in contrast today, we want to examine righteous Mordecai, who was willing to put his life at risk, willing to put his life on the line in order to save the Hebrews or the Jews living in the domain of King Azarias. The motivation of Haman was fueled by nothing other than satanic hatred. Brother Tony mentioned that in our Sunday school class this morning about the satanic hatred that's in the world. While we want to see today Mordecai, who was led by the Spirit of God, by obedience to the Word of God, and by the love for God's people that caused him to take his stand. So stand with me as we give honor, reverence, and obedience to the Word of God. Just a couple books over in the book of Ezra is where we see that God's people stood as the Word was read. And they stood for 2 hours, the Word of God tells us. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it says, "When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and with a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And every providence, whithersoever the king's command and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a command to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach sent forth to Mordecai and to the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened, all that Haman's plan and the permission he had from the king to carry it out unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. And he also gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it to Esther and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go unto the king and make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai." Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that it brings to us hope, and it brings to us conviction, and it brings to us examples of godliness, that, Father, we may take a stand in our day to be obedient to you, to rely upon you, to act out in faith as we've seen others throughout history who've acted in faith, and that, Lord, you used them and you strengthened them and you brought about great victory. Help us to be willing to take a stand for you no matter the cost. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. What was Mordecai willing to do and be that helped him in his decision makings? To have these positive actions, what was he willing to do? What was he willing to take a stand? What was the elements of him taking the stand? I want us to examine three things. There's a whole lot of other things that we could look at, but I want us to examine three things that Mordecai was willing to do to take this stand. We first of all want to see that Mordecai was willing to take a stand on biblical principles. He was willing to take a stand on biblical principles. The Bible tells us that Jesus says to build our house upon a rock, our spiritual house upon a rock. And that verse I was thinking about, as we saw that picture today and your center and all that rock. It's amazing you got to use that much concrete when you already seem to have a good foundation of all those rocks. And so the rock of the Christian's life, the rock of the believer's life, is the principles found in the Word of God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 3. "And when the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's command?" He was standing on biblical principles, as we saw last week, not willing to give worship to any man. It was more than just standing in reverence. The actions
that the king called for, and Haman apparently went further than just bowing out of respect. This is so similar to what we see in this same area of the country when we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they face the commandment to bow before and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made of himself. What did they do when everyone else bowed? They stood. What did Mordecai do? He stood. And we in our culture today have to be willing to stand on God's principles. Now, why was he not willing to bow and worship before any man? Because he had been taught, he had been trained in the Word of God, what it tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus 20, 1 through 6, the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying," this is from the mountain. This is when the Israelites were gathered and had come out of Egypt. And they were at the place where they received the Ten Commandments. "And the Lord spake, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity upon the fathers and the children, even to the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." This is the first of the two of the great Ten Commandments. And Moses is there with the people, and they're receiving them. Now, Moses, a few years later, some 38, 39, 40 years later, Moses is getting ready to depart from the people. He knows he's not going to go in the promised land, and he reminds them in Deuteronomy what they are called to be, who they are called to be, and what they were called to do. And in his farewell sermon that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 13 and 14, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you." The New Testament saints would face a similar situation as the Roman emperor considered themselves deity. And the first apostles and the first early first century churches, they had to face the very same thing and said, "No, we worship God. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship God through the Holy Spirit. We will not bow before any emperor." And we find that in history that many Christians were taken into the Colosseums and torn limb to limb because they would not bow, because they would not be obedient to the principles of that pagan culture. And so we see that Mordecai gives us an example of standing for God. The first place we take a stand is on the principles found in the Word of God that never changed. And then we find, second of all, that Mordecai was willing to display his spiritual life in public. Mordecai was willing to display his spiritual walk, his spiritual connection with the Lord God of heaven in public. Now, we see this in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 that we've already read. We see that he did several things. Number one, he rent his clothes. This shows sorrow. Now, thinking about this, when someone in the Bible rents their clothes, it's not like they can just run out to Walmart, Kmart, or Target and get clothes the next day or that afternoon. It was not like us where we have enough clothes that I could probably wear a different pair of pants and last me most of the month. But when he rent his clothes and they rent their clothes in the culture, it showed great sorrow. Second of all, he put on sackcloth with ashes. This showed his great humility. He went into the midst of the city. This shows his great boldness. He didn't hide that. You remember what Daniel did? Daniel continued to pray right there in front of the window, facing toward Jerusalem, just like he'd always done before. He was on display. And this showed the great boldness. And fourthly, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He was unashamed of what he believed. He was unashamed. And he wasn't just like, "I'm going to go over here in a little corner and I'm going to hide behind the palace, behind the walls, in my house and cry out." But no, he was unashamed. And then fifthly, he came before the king's gate in his mourning. This meant that he was forfeiting his government privileges. Because it says no one could come into the king's gate inside and come into the palace like this. He had to stay outside. So he was willing to forfeit his government privileges for taking a stand. And we see also that he influenced others in the same behavior. We saw when we read where others were doing the same thing. They were mourning. They were putting on sackcloth and ashes. And when he took a stand for biblical principles and he was willing to display it in public, it affected other people. We see this with Jeremiah. Jeremiah took a stand in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was put in jail by his own people for preaching the message that God had gave him. We saw that Jonah was unashamed and he went, after God had to reprimand him, of course, to go and do God's work. We need to stand out and bold for God and display our biblical principles in the public and do it without being like Jonah and have to be disciplined to go do it. I like this quote from an author of days past. He said this, "Radical times call for a radical behavior when we realize that we serve an awesome God." Radical times call for radical behavior when we realize that we serve an awesome God. His behavior would affect the other Jewish people's behavior and Queen Esther's behavior before the king. If we go on and read in the message, we go on and read in the story, Esther took a bold stand and she was willing to go in before the king and ask permission to talk. Ask permission to say something. She could have been put away. Remember Queen Vashti, the queen at the beginning of the book, she displeased the king, and it wasn't too long before he said, "I'm looking for someone else." So Queen Esther took that great bold stand. And then I want us to see thirdly today that Mordecai was willing to allow God to work matters out in his perfect manner. He displayed faith. Tony, you illustrated that again this morning. You said it several times. What I wanted to do as opposed to what God is opening the door to be done. Thank you for sharing that. Mordecai was willing to allow God to work out matters in his perfect manner and displayed faith. There are many, many verses that display this many, many times. But look now, if you would, at Queen Esther in chapter 4 and verse number 14. Chapter 4 and verse 14, it brings this principle out. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time." Mordecai is encouraging her. He's encouraging her. He said, "If you hold your peace at this time, then there shall be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" And so Mordecai was displaying and sharing great faith from his heart. He said, "Look, God's going to do something, and you have an opportunity to be used by God. But if God speaks to your heart and you choose not to follow through, God will bring it about with someone else. But perhaps, Esther, you're in this position where you're at this time, in this place, for such a time as this." Probably one of the key verses out of the book of Esther. You know, God's placed each one of us where we are for such a time as this. God has a role for each one of us to fulfill. Mordecai did not turn to lying. He did not turn to his own wisdom. He did not turn to the schemes of mankind. He did not return hatred for hatred. He did not turn to rebellion. That's all the things that Satan would want him to do. Those are things that Satan would want us to do. When someone hates toward us, to return hatred. I had a situation sometime in my life that I said something that was true, but wasn't at a good time to be saying it, and somebody hadn't really asked my opinion about it, and I was just babbling on. I was a babbling brook when I should have been a Dead Sea at that time. I was a babbling brook. And I found out that I had offended this brother in the Lord. And when I found out that I had offended this brother in the Lord and his wife had mentioned it to other people, I had a choice, I had a decision to make. Was I going to return some sharp words? Was I going to get on social media and return sharp words and return hatred for hatred? Mordecai had a realization that Haman hated him and hated all of his people because of it. And how was Haman going to respond? And so guess what I did? By the power of the Spirit of God, I went to that person's place of employment and I said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" He said, "Yeah." And when I came through the door and he saw me, you know, he kind of seemed like, "What is he doing here?" And I said, "Listen, I was wrong. I offended you. I hurt you. I hurt your family. And I'm sorry. I was wrong. I didn't make excuses. I didn't try to twist it or turn it. I just returned love." And so Mordecai chose the right things. He stood on God's principles. He went out in public and helped other Jews to see that we need to pray and we need to fast and we need to mourn and ask God. And he was willing to allow God to work the matters out instead of taking it in his own hands. He turned to faith. And then when he turned to faith, that faith came into power from God. It came from the Almighty. It came from the sovereignty of God. It came from the Lord God working. We see how Mordecai had these great results by relying on God's Spirit to move and work in his life, by being obedient to the Word of God and doing what God says to do, and the love for God's people. The love for God's people. He kept on loving his people. So we always have a choice. And we hear so much about Islam and Muslims and things like that. And sometimes it's easy for us to see all the what they've done. And Tony's a great example for us today, showing that we respond with love instead of hatred. We respond with giving the gospel. So may God help us to do the same thing, even when we may experience hatred from the lost and dying world that needs to see the love of God in us. We respond differently because God that's in us. We respond differently because we're led by the Spirit. We respond differently because we stand on God's principles, not worldly principles. May God help us to respond in love and care and concern, to keep taking a bold stand in public, though we may feel like we're standing alone. But knowing when we stand with God, we're standing with the majority. May God help us today as we respond to this message. God's spoken to your heart about something you need to respond to. May you do that. If you're not sure where you are with the Lord, you're saved, you're born again, you know Christ as Savior, you receive God's love to give everlasting life, we'd love to show you how you can know Christ as your Savior today. Maybe you need to be baptized, follow the Lord and believe his baptism, or maybe you've been thinking about joining a church. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about that. Maybe God's spoken to you about something in the message or something about helping Tony in the ministry. Whatever God's spoken, you respond today as God speaks to you.